Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live for Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk, and we're doing our review tonight of Watkins Glen and Winchester Speedway. We're going to probably have an abbreviated show tonight, just as a heads up to everybody. Hopefully, Sal Segala, our co-host, will be able to join us here in a few minutes. So that we can kind of talk about our highlights from the weekend of racing, both at Winchester and at Watkins Glen International. Now, also at 8:40 p.m. tonight, in our winner's circle, we have Will Rogers. The first time he races in the K&N East, first time he races at Watkins Glen International, he comes home with a victory. So definitely looking forward to talking to Will Rogers. We talked to him a few weeks ago after he came in second behind Kevin Harvick at Sonoma Raceway. And he talked about racing at Watkins Glen this weekend and had high hopes of coming home with a victory. So it paid off. He was able to seal the deal, if you will, at Watkins Glen. And again, we're definitely looking forward to talking to him. He will be joining us at 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time. So definitely stay tuned for our conversation with Will Rogers. Now, normally I have post-race audio from the weekend of racing. And in this case, it would be from Watkins Glen, with Kyle Busch winning the Xfinity Series race and Martin Truex Jr. coming home with his fourth victory this season at Watkins Glen in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Unfortunately, there seems to be some technical problems with getting that accomplished as far as uploading the audio this week. So I'm going to keep trying to do that throughout the show here to see if we can get that audio uploaded and available for you. If we don't have the audio, then during the 9 o'clock half hour tonight, what I will do is just kind of go over some of the stats from the weekend of racing for both the Xfinity and the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series. I also want to talk just a little bit about the ARCA Racing Series. Kyle Benjamin came home with the victory in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend from Winchester, and that's kind of a big deal. He was racing with MDM Motorsports, and it was pretty exciting to see him come home with that victory. Some of the drivers say that that's a pretty tough track to race, and so it's a pretty big deal anytime anyone wins at Winchester Speedway. So we'll get all of that covered. With that being said, Sal, unfortunately, even if he does make it on the show tonight, he's only going to be able to stay on until 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that means that I'll be on my own for that second half hour, and there's probably a good chance that we'll be ending the show by about 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 8:30 Central. And we may not do the entire 90 minutes of our show tonight since I'll be on my own. So just want to give you the heads up on that. And with that, let me just bring up some big news that happened today. Hendrick Motorsports made an announcement today. Kane will not be running with them. They're ending his six-year run at Hendrick Motorsports following the 2017 NASCAR Cup Series season. So he's been released from his final year of his contract, allowing him to immediately pursue other opportunities for the 2018 season. Now, Hendrick Motorsports is saying Casey has worked extremely hard, and that's the words of Rick Hendrick, owner of Hendrick Motorsports. He goes on to say he's a tremendous teammate and person, and he has been totally dedicated to our program since day one. I've always believed that he's a special talent, and I know he will thrive in the right situation. We will do everything we can to finish the season as strong as we can. Casey Kane is 37 years old. He will complete, again, the 2017 season of the NASCAR Cup Series schedule for Hendrick Motorsports this year. He signed on with Hendrick Motorsports in April of 2010, nearly 2 years before he was actually to make his debut in February of 2012 in the number 5 Chevrolet. Now in their 6th season together, Kane has earned 6 of his 18 career point-paying Cup victories with that number. As for Casey Kane and what he has to say, his comments are as follows. I'd like to thank Rick and everyone at Hendrick Motorsports for their hard work and dedication. Along with providing me a great opportunity and success over the last 6 years, we won 6 races together, and I'm coming off of one of the biggest wins of my career at the Brickyard, which has given the number 5 team a lot of momentum heading into the playoffs. We still have a lot of racing left in 2017, and finishing strong is our top priority. I look forward to what the next chapter in my career holds. Now, as far as the future for Hendrick Motorsports and that number 5 team for 2018, Hendrick Motorsports has said that they will announce their plans for its 4-car operation at a later date. So more news will be forthcoming as it relates to Hendrick Motorsports and the number 5 team for 2018. So that was pretty big news. I don't think it was surprising news for a lot of people. I think a lot of people thought that the possibility certainly existed for that to happen with Casey Kane. But it is now official that Casey Kane will not be returning after this year. Now, with the fact that he won at Indianapolis Motor Speedway playoffs, so he will be in the playoffs for the 2017 season and can compete for that championship. So definitely more to see from Casey Kane in that number 5 car at Hendrick Motorsports before the season ends. And I'm sure he has a legion of fans who will be behind him every step of the way. So I now want to get into our upcoming guest. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago from the K&N Pro Series West. He came in 2nd to Kevin Harvick at Sonoma Raceway and was the highest finishing K&N West driver in that race. And it was by a significant amount over the rest of the field. Joining us here in just another minute or so, I'm going to bring him into the queue because he is here already, is our K&N East driver for this past weekend at Watkins Glen International, Will Rogers. But before we talk to him, I do want to bring in our co-host, Sal Segala. He is here now, and I want to welcome you to the show, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
Okay. I'm glad you were able to make it. Will is here now, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him in to the show. First of all, Will Rogers, congratulations on getting your very first victory in the K&N East and at Watkins Glen this weekend in the K&N Pro Series East race out there.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks, guys, for having me. It was a great weekend this past weekend in Watkins Glen, for sure.
Oh, definitely. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago after you came in 2nd at Sonoma. We had you on the show here, and at that time, you told us that you had a lot of confidence going into Watkins Glen. Talk again about why you had that confidence going into Watkins Glen, and what this win means to you now that it's in the record book.
Yeah, when we spoke after Sonoma, you know, we weren't entirely sure if we were going to go to Watkins Glen. Of course, I spoke with Kevin Harvick after that race, and he suggested that we, you know, lean on our strong suits and go race some road courses, and we were able to put Watkins Glen together, thankfully, and obviously really glad we did it. This race, I mean, winning it, and then, of course, having our first East start and winning in that first start was pretty phenomenal, of course, for my resume, but also just this team. This Jefferson Pitts Racing team has been working very, very hard this season, along with myself, for not only on-track performance, but off-track performance with sponsorship and stuff. And for us to get this win means a lot to us. Real boost in morale, and then also a lot of great confidence for me going into our next few races here on the West.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, as I mentioned, our co-host has arrived with us, and I know Sal has some questions for you, Will, so I'm going to pass the microphone over to Sal.
All right.
Hey, Will, first of all, congratulations on the win. I know it was a huge win for you, and, you know, especially for Jefferson Pitts, because it seems like Jefferson Pitts, they have a really strong road course background.
Yeah, thank you. They certainly do. I mean, I think we were looking back at the statistics, and JPR has won the last five K&N road courses from Utah, Sonoma, New Jersey Motorsports Park, and now Watkins Glen, of course. So, yeah, they have a stellar road course program. But that's not to take anything away from their oval program, too. We've steadily been getting better every single time we race this year. Of course, for me, I don't have a lot of oval experience. So I'm trying to learn how to maximize their equipment this year. And I think our visit to Iowa a few weeks back really showed the progress we've made. You know, unfortunately, we ran into some issues with tires there. But, you know, going from 18th in the beginning to 5th at the halfway break really showed what their equipment on an oval can do. And it's really great to be with these guys.
Yeah, you know, and actually that the race over at Iowa, you know, that was a really good, race for you. You know, along with a few other ones, you know, and I kind of have to go back to last season. You know, when you were racing with, I think it was Patriot or John Wood, one of the two. I actually don't even know who owned the team. But even back then, you know, that, and, you know, not putting down the equipment or nothing, but, you know, it wasn't as stellar as what you're getting with Jefferson Pitts. But even back then, you know, you showed a lot of promise.
Yeah, Patriot Motorsports, it is an entirely different program. However, I was really fortunate to be there, and I'm really grateful for my experience because – I think that's what prepared me, you know, to come into this season with JPR's level of, again, equipment and their program. It really helped me get past a lot of things that younger drivers, I guess, face. As far as adversity goes, you know, I was able to go through a lot of that with Patriot Motorsports, and now the adversity that we face at JPR, just it makes it that much easier to overcome. But, yeah, it has been a very, very big difference, you know, between the two seasons. And we did show some promise last year, and I'm really glad from that experience we're able to really, you know, improve and show what we can do this year.
You know, and actually looking at back from last year, this year, it's kind of sad in a way that the series isn't making a stop back at Utah Motorsports Park, because – last year it was Noah Gregson who swept both races when they ran the double on Saturday and Sunday, and it would have been neat to see the West go back over there. I know for myself, I call it Miller because that's what I've known it by, but I mean, you know, but going back to Utah, I mean, it definitely would have been a big game changer. You know, I know, you know, as far as your series and as far as the points are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I am pretty bummed that race is not on the schedule. We had a lot of fun last year. I was with Patriot Motorsports there, and funny story about that is that the car that I ran, my dad and I actually built that car, not from the ground up, but close to it in a matter of days before that race, and we ended up showing up and getting 2 7th-place finishes, almost having a 5th-place finish on Sunday, which was pretty stellar for us. But yeah, that would have been great. Seeing Noah sweep those races last year certainly was a confidence boost for me. you know, but hopefully next year, maybe they'll bring Utah back, and that would be great for the series. But as far as other road course races, we're, of course, eyeballing New Jersey Motorsports Park later this season and on the East. You know, I got to talk with Kevin Harvick this weekend and some of his people, and they're, you know, pretty supportive of me going to do that race. So we'll see if some stuff can come together, and you never know, maybe we'll run another road course this season.
You know, and actually that was going to be my next question was, what was it like, you know, when you get to victory lane and all of a sudden Kevin Harvick walks up, you know, to congratulate you?
Yeah, it was pretty darn cool. Truthfully, I wasn't expecting it because earlier that day I was going to try to go see Kevin and the 41 team. I know they were busy all day. My schedule ended up filling up and I wasn't able to go over there. So I didn't even know if he knew I was there. But it was quite a surprise to see Kevin, Delana, and their son come into victory lane. And Kevin and I were able to do the identical photo that I took with him at Sonoma on the podium. He got to take with me. So that was pretty neat. Really appreciate the Harvick family for their support and everybody in that program. It really means a lot for somebody at my level. And you know, can't thank him enough.
That's awesome. Now with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, well, that's awesome. I thought that was really special as well when I saw Kevin Harvick was in victory lane with you. I knew that had to be a special moment. But I want to talk now about what happened during that red flag. Max Pappas blew an engine. That created a red flag condition, so you had to sit there and wait for that last restart. With three laps to go. Talk a little bit about what was going through your mind during that time and, you know, how you kind of geared yourself up for that last restart.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that Max had had a mechanical problem there. I was actually really looking forward to racing with him up front. That unfortunately wasn't the case this weekend because I knew, you know, I would have been able to learn a lot of things from that guy. But, you know, sitting there in the red flag, I think I was just focused on getting a good restart. I knew that's where we were going to, you know, make a difference in this race. That's been kind of our weak point this season, just learning how to restart at the front of these races. It's very tough coming from my background of sports car racing and low horsepower cars. So making this adjustment has taken a little bit of time. But luckily after that red flag, we were able to get a pretty good restart. Todd Gilliland actually started behind me and gave me a good push there. And, you know, through turn one, we were able to capture the lead. And I'd like to say didn't look back. However, on the last lap, the six car of Garcia got pretty close, I hear, and ended up tagging the wall. But we were able to hold on to it and win the race. So that's kind of was my mindset at the time.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that with us because I'm sure a lot of people were thinking about that. Now, fans are going to be able to watch this race. The Finger Lakes Wine Country 100 will air day after tomorrow, Wednesday, August the 9th, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. Are you going to be watching?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually up here in Washington State with my Jefferson Pitts racing team building some race cars, getting ready for this weekend at Evergreen Speedway, and we will certainly have the TV on in the shop as we're wrenching away, and we'll enjoy the race.
Okay, now let's talk also about your team, the people that are behind you there at Jefferson Pitts Racing. Two road courses, you've got a second place and a first place, so there's a lot of good things going on behind the scenes with your team as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. JPR, they run a stellar program. My crew chief is Jeff Jefferson. He's a great guy. He and I click so well. You know, even the first race at Tucson this year just seemed to work out very well between the two of us. We knew exactly what we were thinking, and we were able to make changes on the fly. And so that relationship has gone very well. Jerry Pitts, of course, is part of this team. He's an owner, and he hasn't necessarily been my crew chief this year, but What JPR is all about is teamwork, and we always work together. So it's almost like when I go to the racetrack, I have two crew chiefs underneath me, so or not underneath me, but working with me. And that's really cool. My spotter this year, I've had several, but my primary has been Jason Jefferson. And Jason has done a really good job, a really good racer himself. So he knows exactly what I need through the radio when I'm racing, and he's helped me through some pretty sticky situations. So grateful for that. But I think the three of us make a really great team, and, of course, including Jerry, too. But it's been pretty great.
I would say so. You've got about 14 or 15 starts overall with the Can-Am Pro Series, and you've already got a win under your belt. Establishing a relationship with Kevin Harvick, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, it's pretty surreal to me at this point that we've been able to accomplish this season. You know, those 14 or 15 starts are the only ones I've ever had in stock cars. I never raced from the quarter midget level through the late model level up to where I am now. We just jumped in kind of blind, I guess, last year, and we learned. We've obviously learned a lot and progressed a lot. And, you know, I'm very grateful for where we are at this point. The support from my family and friends and sponsors is just, you know, unbelievable. I can't thank them enough. Without them, we, of course, wouldn't be here. But it's been a pretty, pretty great experience so far in my 14, 15 starts.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to send it back to Sal in case he has anything he wants to say before we say goodbye.
So, Will, what was it like making a start, you know, aside from Iowa, but actually racing with just Can-Am East drivers?
It was pretty cool. I mean, of course, I got kind of the lay of the land on who I'd be racing at Iowa the week before. So familiar faces. But, you know, for the first time racing in the East Series, of course, the East has always been the more dominant, I guess you could say, series because they're close to Charlotte, the home of NASCAR. So it was pretty cool to make a start there. And of course, start up front with a guy like Ryan Truex, who's got so much experience, Can-Am championships under his belt. He's won at Watkins Glen twice. And of course, races in the Truck Series. It was great to finally have that opportunity to race against these guys and ultimately finish in front of them. I know Ryan had, some mechanical failure there with some tires. I think, you know, throughout the race, our strategy may have played off. So if he was still in the race, we would have definitely challenged him for the lead. But, you know, overall was a great experience. Of course, the East fans are very loyal. They're great. The Watkins Glen race weekend is always one to watch and be a part of. And, you know, overall good experience for sure.
You know, and actually one of the things that we've always talked about throughout the years was, you know, that the East – you know, when you start comparing the East with the West, you know, the West has, we have a lot of strong drivers, a lot of, you know, our tracks are different. Unfortunately, the East, they get to run a lot more of the NASCAR tracks. But, you know, and the competition level always comes up because, you know, they say because they're in the East, you know, they get the better equipment than we get out here in the West. Now, kind of a little bit with that comparison, how would you say the competition is so far that you felt, you know, having to drive, you know, and just at East race and then compared to your West competitors?
You know, I actually think the last 2 years have been more competitive than ever. If not, maybe even the West is more competitive this year. That's not to take away anything from the guys that I raced this past weekend, but that just statistically it almost looks like that, where the West guy has won the Iowa Speedway event. I can't even remember how many times in a row now. But it was good to finally just face off against them alone and see what we were like and, you know, ultimately won the race. But what was really cool to me is something that Kevin Harvick said to my crew chief, Jeff Jefferson, in Victory Lane was he's really happy that a West guy came out here and ran a great race against the East crowd. That's one of his big things and something that he pointed out at Sonoma that, you know, the West guys need more attention and that's something that he was able to help me with. And I also got to talk with Brendan Gaughan for a little while after the race, and he was also very ecstatic that a West guy came out to the East and won the race. So that definitely means a lot for me, and I think it means a lot for the series in general. Shows that the West has really come along over the years and now competes, you know, at an even, hopefully even playing field as the East.
You know what, and actually that is so true, especially coming from Kevin. Growing up out here in Bakersfield, you know, cutting his teeth out here at Mesa Marin, you know, ran selected races, you know, I think he ran a few probably at Orindale, but, you know, Saugus and, you know, just some tracks out, you know, out here. And, you know, and then, of course, you know, we can go on and on about the list of drivers, you know, who have come from California, you know, that have made it, you know, of course, one of them being Jimmy Johnson, the 7-time champion, Jeff Gordon, the 4-time champion, you know, like I said, the list goes on and on. But for yourself, you know, that was an awesome win, you know, and it was a great way to represent the West, not so much the West, but it was an awesome way to represent, you know, what the work and the work that Jefferson Pitts puts into all their drivers and all their teams, and also, you know, for Will Rogers himself.
Absolutely. It was a great experience for me. It's definitely one to put in the memory books, and I'm really glad we were able to go out there and show our stuff against these guys. And yeah, it was awesome.
Well, congratulations again on the win, Will, and we'll see you this weekend. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Thank you.
Okay, Will. Thank you so much for being available for our winner's circle tonight. It's a pleasure to have you here talking about your victory, and we're glad you chose to spend a little time celebrating with us. Before you go, please make sure that fans know how they can follow you. I would imagine you've just secured a whole slew of new fans.
Yeah, sure. Fans or anybody can follow me on social media, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. My Facebook is just Will Rogers Racing. My Instagram is Will Rogers _, and my Twitter is Will Rogers 65. So feel free, anybody, to follow me, message me, you know, reach out, maybe start a conversation, and, you know, we'll definitely be pumping in some really great content there throughout the rest of this season.
Okay. Well, Will, I suspect this may not be the last time we talk with you, with New Jersey Motorsports Park still on the schedule here. Definitely, we hope that we wish for you the very best for the rest of the season, and we hope we do get another opportunity to talk with you.
Great. Well, thanks, guys. I do appreciate you having me. Anytime.
Okay. Take care now.
Thanks.
All right, that was Will Rogers with Jefferson Pitts Racing, and a fantastic win for him out at Watkins Glen International this weekend. Sal, any other comments that you want to add to that?
No, you know, Sharon, it was a good win for me. You know what, and it's neat, you know, to see, you know, the West drivers, you know, go and, you know, play with the, you know, with the other series like that, it kind of sizes them up. And, you know, not only that, but like Kevin told me, you know what, it helps, you know, to let people know, you know, the West Series is alive and well. You know, the level of competition this year has been really good. There's been a lot of good racing going on this year, you know, in the West.
Absolutely.
It's just another testament, you know, that goes back, you know, to, you know, you know, that, you know, you, I don't know how to say it. I guess it kind of goes back to kind of a lot of drivers, you know, that, you know, they try to gauge, you know, off the different series, but, you know, Will went out there, you know, and being the road course person that he is, you know, and, you know, and proving to himself, you know, that he could do it. I mean, and, you know, in front of another, you know, tough field.
Absolutely, absolutely. I could not agree more with you, Sal. Now, I know you have to go here in another minute or so, but before you leave, Sal, I wanted to just kind of give a heads up to our listeners of what's going to be happening over the next several weeks. I know you've got some things going on at work that are going to prevent you from being with us for a few weeks.
Yeah, actually, I've been on a project for already a month and ready for 6 weeks. And it's just really getting intense. It's getting really, 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 it's hard on me, but you know what? It's just the hours, the work hours are just, you know, the work hours are crazy. And, and hopefully by the end of this month, you know, we'll have it was supposed to be a 3-week project and it got extended into September. So,
right.
Hoping by the end of August, you know, we'll get everything all cleared up and I can come back full force again.
Okay. Well, we're going to miss you, Sal. Most definitely we're going to miss you. But I wanted to let fans know that we've got it covered for these next 3 weeks with a co-host from the West. James Bickford is going to be standing in for Sal for the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. The co-host for Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk will be James Bickford. He was racing in the Canyon West for a while, and we've had him co-host before, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with him while you're busy with work, Sal, and definitely we will be looking forward to you being back with us in September.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, take care and don't work too hard. Get that job done and be safe. And we wish you the best, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back, too. That's for sure.
Okay. We're looking forward to that as well.
Okay,
Sal. Take care and we'll talk to you down the road here.
All right. Okay.
Okay, good night. All right, that was Sal Sigala, Sal _ Sigala, Sigala. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's also on Facebook as Sal Sigala Jr., and he does fantastic photography when he's out there at the racetrack, which he oftentimes is at the racetrack. So with that, as I mentioned before, I had originally planned to have some post-race audio for you from Kyle Busch, who won the Xfinity Series race, and from Martin Truex Jr., who won the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race. However, for some technical reason, we are unable to make that happen here tonight. So what I'm going to do is get into, first of all, the ARCA Racing Series, and talk just a little bit about what happened there. I talked about it earlier, saying that Cal Benjamin won that race from MDM Motorsports in the number 28 car. Second place was Christian Eckes. Third place was the series points leader, Austin Cario, who came in third. Travis Bratton came in fourth, and Gus Dean finished fifth. So that rounds out your top five in the ARCA Racing Series at Winchester Speedway. Looking at the next five drivers, Shane Lee finished sixth, followed by Chase Purdy. We had him on the show last week. He finished seventh in the number 78 car this week. Brett Holmes from Brett Holmes Racing finished eighth. Justin Fontaine, ninth. And Raphael Lessard with Venturini Motorsports finished 10th. So that rounds out your top 10 drivers in the ARCA Racing Series. Looking at the series point standings after that race, Austin Cario continues to lead the ARCA Racing Series, followed by Dalton Sargeant. This week it was Austin Cario expanding his points lead. Gus Dean takes over the third spot with his fifth place finish. So he is now third in the series point standings, followed by Riley Herbst and Shane Lee in fifth. The next five drivers in the series point standings include Brett Holmes in sixth, Zane Smith in seventh, A.J. Fike from Galesburg, Illinois in eighth, at Thomas Prater in ninth, and Brad Smith in 10th. So that rounds out your top 10 drivers in the ARCA Racing Series. And you may want to check MAV TV if you have that service, because you'll be able to possibly see some replays of the Winchester ARCA 200 and watch Kyle Benjamin win that race. Now, next up on the schedule for the ARCA Racing Series is the Hers Potato Chips 100, Chase the Taste. So it's the Hers Potato Chips 100. That will take place on August the 20th at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, and that is taking place at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. So those of you who are here in Illinois, as I am, you'll want to get out there to the Illinois State Fairgrounds and watch this race. I hope to do that myself. Again, mark your calendar for August the 20th for that next race in the ARCA Racing Series. With that, I want to move on. The Camping World Truck Series did not race this past weekend, but they will be back on the track, I believe, this coming weekend. They will be racing the LTI Printing 200, and that race will be taking place this weekend at Michigan International Speedway, and fans will definitely want to tune in for that race. That will be taking place on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday, August the 12th at 1 p.m. Also racing this weekend is the Xfinity Series, but they're going to be on a road course, again, out at Mid-Ohio, road course in Ohio, and for the Mid-Ohio Challenge. That race is also taking place on Saturday, August the 12th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That race will be broadcast on NBC Sports Network. Also racing at Michigan along with the trucks is going to be the Pure Michigan 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series, also broadcast on NBC Sports Network. That will be Sunday, August the 13th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So a lot of racing taking place this weekend. And I want to kind of go over just a little bit here some of the follow-up from those races. And I'm talking about the Xfinity Series race at Watkins Glen, as well as the Monster Energy Cup race at Watkins Glen. Getting my stat sheets up as we speak, so give me just a couple minutes here, and I will have some information for you. Now, in the Zippo 200, we know that Kyle Busch won that race. It's his first Xfinity Series race win at Watkins Glen this week. And I shouldn't say the first win this week. The first time he's won in the Xfinity Series in quite a while. Kyle Busch came in first, followed by Joey Logano, then Brad Keselowski. Justin Allgaier came home with a fourth-place finish, and followed by Paul Menard in fifth place. And now here's an example. That's a pretty full slate there of NASCAR Cup Series drivers being up front for this Xfinity Series race. So I want to make sure that I make special note that Justin Allgaier was the highest finishing Xfinity Series driver in this race with his fourth place finish. Now, in seventh place is Ty Dillon, and in eighth place is Eric Jones. Both of them are also racing in the NASCAR Cup Series. Next up is Brendan Gaughan, finishing ninth, and then William Byron, the rookie of this series, and the highest finishing rookie in the Xfinity Series, finished 10th. So some great finishes there for some of the Xfinity Series drivers. Stage one was run by the 22 car. That is Brad Keselowski. And stage two was run by the number two car, which was driven by Paul Menard this week. And, of course, the race winner is Kyle Busch. William Byron continues to really dominate the Sunoco Rookie of the Year title. He has 255 points over Will Cole Custer in second place at 196 points. The real contest there is between second and third place. Daniel Hemric is at 191 points, just 5 points behind Cole Custer. So that's the place to watch in that series. Now, William Byron is the leader in series wins. He has a total of three wins. He has two stage wins, and he has 17 playoff points, more than any other driver in the series, which is really a big, big deal considering he is the rookie of that series. It's understandable that he's running away with that Rookie of the Year point standings. In first place, though, is Elliott Sadler, the veteran. He has 732 total points, but he has no wins yet this season, the most points in that series, and to keep that series lead. Behind him, as I mentioned, is William Byron in second place. He's at 680 points. So there's about 52 points difference there between William Byron and Elliott Sadler. In third place is Justin Allgaier. Fourth place is Brennan Poole. And in fifth place is Daniel Hemric. Going over the next five drivers in the series point standings, we have Cole Custer in sixth, Matt Tift, Ryan Reed, Dakota Armstrong, and Blake Koch. Now, keep in mind that in the Xfinity Series, it's the top 12 drivers that will find a way in their way to the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. And the next two drivers that would be in line for that are Michael Annett and Brendan Gaughan in the 12th place position. Only three drivers have won in the Xfinity Series this season, so William Byron propels himself to the top of that list, followed by Brendan Poole, and then Ryan Reed would be third when the playoffs begin. Now, those drivers who are on the outside looking in right now, we have Ryan Sieg, J.J. Yaley, and Ross Chastrandon Jones. Ryan Sieg, just to give you a perspective here, the 12th place driver, as we mentioned, is Brendan Gaughan. Brendan has 383 points. Behind him in 12th place is Ryan Sieg at 347 points. Now, between the 13th place driver, Ryan Sieg, and Ross Chastain, who's in 15th, there is a mere 12 points separating those three drivers. So a lot can happen in these next few races. The clock is ticking, though, and time is winding down. And a lot of these drivers, if they want to get in, they can get in very easily with a win. That secures their spot into the playoffs. Otherwise, it will be based on points. So a lot of these drivers are going to be racing very hard for those points and try to gain as many points as they can on Brendan Gaughan in that 12th place spot. Also, just to kind of give you a perspective on the other side of that, between 10th place and 12th place, we're talking Blake Koch, Michael Annett, and Brendan Gaughan, it's 338 points for Blake Koch in 10th place, and Brendan Gaughan in 12th place at 349 points. So we're talking 11 points difference between those drivers. So, again, there's some tight points in here for these drivers, and every point makes a big difference right now. And these guys are trying to get their place in those playoffs, and fans will definitely want to keep their eyes open for what's going to happen in these next few races. Now, moving on to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, that was a fantastic race. Martin Truex Jr. came home with his fourth win this weekend. He has the most wins of any driver in the Cup Series. So, again, that will propel him right up to the top of the series point standings when the playoffs begin. But let's start right now by talking about the results from the I Love New York 355 at the Glen. Martin Truex finished first, followed by Matt Kenseth in second. Matt Kenseth needs a win. He does not have a win yet this season. So I know he was racing hard to make that happen. In third place is Daniel Suarez. He's the rookie in the Cup Series and the highest finishing rookie of this race. So he had a fantastic race. I think that's his best Cup Series finish. You would have thought he won the race, as excited as he was and when the race ended on Sunday afternoon. In fourth place is Denny Hamlin, and in fifth place is Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer also does not have a win yet to secure his place in the playoffs. Of the drivers in that top five, it's Martin Truex and Denny Hamlin are the only two who have victories. The other three drivers all need a win in order to get into those playoffs. Looking at the 6th through 10th place drivers, we have Kurt Busch, followed by his brother Kyle Busch. In 8th place is Ryan Blaney. A lot of people thought A.J. Allmendinger had a chance to maybe win at Watkins Glen. He came home in 9th place. And then another rookie, Eric Jones, finished 10th in the race here at Watkins Glen International. As far as the stage wins, Kyle Busch did win the first stage of this race. The second stage was run by Daniel Suarez, the rookie. So that was pretty exciting to see, and it gave him a few playoff points. So that was fantastic. Looking at the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings, this race is a little bit tighter, but I will say Daniel Suarez has expanded his lead with his third place finish this week. He has 223 points, followed by Eric Jones at 206 points. So that is a matter of 17 points between them. In third place is Ty Dillon at 172 points. So just a little heads up on what's happening with that Rookie of the Year. Daniel Suarez is kind of really pulling away there a little bit. Looking at the series point standings, the top five there, as if we look just at point standings, are Martin Truex Jr. at 881 points. Second place driver points-wise is now Kyle Busch. He took over that second place spot from Kyle Larson. So Kyle Larson is now in third. Kyle Busch is 116 points out of first. Kyle Larson is 122 points out. Kevin Harvick is in fourth at 135 points from first. And then in fifth place now is Denny Hamlin, 195 points out. Going 6th through 10th, we have Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, Matt Kenseth, and Clint Bowyer. Since the NASCAR Cup Series is the top 16 drivers that go into playoffs at the end of the regular season, so the next 6 drivers include Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, Daniel Suarez, and Ryan Newman holds that 16th spot. So let's talk about this for just a minute, because we do have Austin Dillon, who has a race win, and he is in the top 20. So that would knock out Ryan Newman as knock out Ryan Newman because Ryan Newman has a race win as well. Ricky Stenhouse has two race wins, so it would knock out the first one without a race win is Daniel Suarez. He would be knocked out by those drivers who have a race win, as would, let me see here, who's the next driver without a race win? Daniel Suarez, the next driver without a race win is Clint Boyer, and then Matt Kenseth. So those two wins by Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and the one win by Austin Dillon would definitely knock out Daniel Suarez and would knock out possibly Clint Boyer at this point because Clint Boyer is behind Matt Kenseth. Now, to give you a perspective on how much behind, Matt Kenseth is just ahead of him in ninth at 244 points. Clint Boyer is at 272 points. So that's quite a bit of points difference there and something to definitely keep your eyes on. Now, let me look here. I want to look at the points here. Joey Logano, here's something to talk about as well. Joey Logano has an encumbered win. And Joey Logano's win, that what that basically means is that his win does not gain him entry into the playoffs. Therefore, he, unless he can get a win before the playoffs begin, his role could be in jeopardy. Right now, he's 13th in the series point standings. He has to stay above that cutoff line and keeping in mind that even though Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Austin Dillon are not in the top 16, their wins gain them entry into that top 16. So that puts Joey Logano pretty close on the bubble. So it's really important that Joey Logano gain points if he's not able to get a win. And right now he is at 542 points. So he really needs to maintain that cushion, if you will, in order to stay in the playoffs based on points because his win is not going to gain him entry unless he wins again. And who knows, that could happen. So just some things to be aware of when it comes to the Monster Energy series and going into the next race that's coming up here at Michigan International Speedway on Sunday. Now, I will tell you that, again, we will be on air this Thursday. Myself and co-host MJ Huseman will be doing the preview for the Ken Mangum Truck Series and Cup Series at Michigan and for the Xfinity Series at Mid-Ohio Low Course Race this weekend. We'll also be covering the races for the K&N Pro Series and the ARCA Racing Series will be off this weekend. We'll kind of give you updates there. But I wanted to let you know, I mentioned earlier in the show that Sal's not going to be with us for the next 3 weeks. But joining me as co-host over these next 3 weeks will be James Bickford. He used to race in the K&N Pro Series West, did very, very well there with Bob Brancati Racing. And he's had some other things kind of going on in his life. He's going to be our guest at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday night. So definitely looking forward to talking with James Pickford this Thursday night. That is Thursday, August the 10th. The show starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and James will be our guest at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, our co-host is MJ Huseman that night. And Jay will talk a little bit about what's going on with him and the fact that he's going to be our co-host on Monday nights for the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. We're hoping that we probably won't have a show on Labor Day that week, but we're hoping that Sal Segala will be back on the show with us by September the 11th. And I know we'll have a lot to talk about. So, again, just a quick update there, a little spur for what's going to be happening with the Monday night show here on Fan for Racing Radio. We still will be here every Monday night, 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We will also be here every Thursday night, 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, with J.M.J. Huseman for our preview show. So once again, I want to just say thank you to all of our listeners. We appreciate your patience and understanding as we kind of work through some difficulty in our scheduling over the last week. And this upcoming week, I'm just happy to know that we've secured a co-host, and we're definitely going to be on air for all of you. And, of course, we'll always look to have a race winner on the show on Monday night, and other guests as we're able to secure them for our Monday night show. So thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to talking with you again coming up on Thursday night right here on Blog Talk Radio as part of the Fan for Racing Radio Network. Take care, everybody, and talk to you on Thursday. Good night.